Hello and thank you for listening to Nathaniel Litchfield & Partners Planning News Update for August. This is the third of our regular monthly podcasts on changes in the world of planning. My name's Ian Rind and I'm a director here at NLP. I'm here with our associates Nicola Furlonger and Maggie Badley, who are responsible for advising us on all the emerging planning law and policy changes. And I'm pleased to say that joining us today is Sarah Perryman, another of our associates, and she has extensive knowledge of planning for town centres and retailing. And she's here to talk about some of the latest initiatives intended to rejuvenate Britain's high streets. So kicking off with you, Maggie, I understand that the headline news this month relates to measures to simplify applying for planning permission, something which we would all welcome, I think.
Yeah, you're right. CLG's consulting now on a range of proposals that, if they are introduced, they really could have significant pro-development implications for emerging projects and development strategies. There are three CLG consultations. The first is on streamlining planning application requirements for outline permissions. There's another on changes to permitted development rights, which are mainly to encourage the reuse of long vacant buildings. Mm-hmm. And last of all, there's advice for statutory consultee performance so that costs might be awarded against statutory consultees on appeal. CLG says that as well as answering all the specific questions in the consultation documents, they're very happy to receive further ideas for changes that we think might improve the system and complement their own. So comments have to be submitted by the 11th of September.
It's worth also mentioning here, Ian, that another important consultation came out this month relating to non-planning consent. And by this I mean the new DCMS consultation on the listed building consent process. This puts forward four possible options that could be applied in different combinations, with the potential to speed up and simplify procedures significantly.
Can you tell us a bit more about these options, Nicola?
Yes, well, they include allowing for a system of prior notification of works to listed buildings that would then lead to a deemed consent, and alternatively, or in addition to, a system of new local and national consents for certain categories of works. A third option would allow applicants to apply for certificates of lawful works where those would not affect the special interest of a building.
Aren't these changes going to raise some concerns about the level of protection for heritage assets?
Well, we don't think so. The government has made it clear that it's committed to protecting listed buildings and their special interests, so the level of protection we think will be maintained. And whatever the outcome of the process, proposals for works that affect the special interest of listed buildings will still need to be supported by strong justification.
Okay.
Oh, and before we move on, there's another Department for Transport consultation this time on speeding up the process of putting stopping up or diversion orders in place. In short, all of this is really good news for the development industry.
And I gather, Nicola, that's not all that's happening now in the post-MPPF world in terms of the government moving on from changing the decision-taking process as development management's now been renamed.
Yes, you're right. A whole series of other measures have been announced, and they include an increase in planning application fees of around 15%, and that will be introduced from October. Also, the standard application form is being amended to include a declaration of honesty and accuracy. And of course, there'll be the changes to the community infrastructure levy regulations that will be introduced in the autumn, and that will mean that Section 73 permissions will no longer be CIL liable. There'll be further consultations too later on in 2012, on speeding up planning appeals and on the 12-month planning guarantee. And last of all, more details will be announced shortly on how the government will approach MPPF guidance.
Thanks, Nicola. So overall, Maggie, it sounds like the measures are all ones our clients should be endorsing as a step in the right direction. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, most definitely. But there are some provisos. For example, we're not really sure that the quite significant planning application fee increase will lead to improvements in quality and timing of decisions, especially as already fewer applications are being made.
Thanks, Maggie. So turning to you, Sarah, we've seen more progress being made in recent weeks in terms of taking forward the Mary Portis review recommendations for the future of Britain's high streets, haven't we?
Yes, Ian. Following on from the government's initial response to the Portis review, which was back in March this year, Grant Shapps has announced 15 more towns are being given Portis pilot status, which means they'll benefit from 1.5 million of additional funding. There are quite some quite experimental projects, and some new pilot teams are definitely promoting initiatives which are supported by MPPF policy. Examples include promoting the individuality of centres and encouraging markets, and also providing improvements to town centre parking.
Can I just add too that there are now 27 Porters pilots in total nationally, and three of the latest pilot teams are in Inner London. They're working on centres in Lewisham, Lambeth and Tower Hamlets.
Nationally as well, even if a town team has not got Porters pilot status, it's important to know that there is going to be an additional £5.5 million made available to almost 400 other town teams. These so-called town team partners are to be offered support to implement their plans, and they're also going to be able to use a web-based encyclopedia called 100 Ways to Help Your High Street.
So is that it for Porters Retail News this month, Sarah?
Not quite. CLG has also published new good practice guidance on what the department calls town centre spaces. In effect, this also follows on from the Porters Review and the government's response. And it asks local businesses, landowners, councils and communities to be creative about how they design and use the space in their town centres and on their high streets.
Thanks, Sarah. Turning back to London now, Nicola, the sporting events of the Olympics have dominated news coverage generally, but have the Mayor and others been taking forward legacy proposals and, for that matter, any other planning initiatives?
Yes, to both, actually, particularly in connection with efforts to promote house building in London. The London Legacy Development Corporation's application for five new neighbourhoods on 64 hectares of land in the Olympic Park has just been approved. So nearly 7,000 new homes will be built in these neighbourhoods.
And otherwise on housing in the capital, the Mayor's announced the Build Your Own Home the London Way scheme. This is an £8 million fund to support self-build projects in London aimed at encouraging new and innovatively designed homes and community facilities. Applicants are going to be offered the support of leading architects and designers too.
So just before we wrap up for this month, do you think there are any other changes in the offering that we should be advising on?
Well, yeah, there's one thing in particular, Ian. This is more about delayed change, though. We're expecting yet more delay to the proposed revocation of all the regional strategies outside London.
Yes, that's right. And this is because CLG has just announced another series of consultations on revised environmental assessments of the proposed revocation of each of the regional strategies. And these consultations will happen in phases over the coming weeks.
So, Nicola, why yet more delay in the revocation of regional strategies? This has been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Yes, well, Baroness Hannam, in a ministerial statement, confirmed that it's due to a recent European Court ruling.
Yeah, and she said that the proposed revocation of the regional strategies can be a material consideration, which we already know, when determining planning applications and appeals. But she's gone further. She's said that local authorities can bring forward proposals in their local plans, for example, on housing targets that have what she calls a local interpretation to them that's based on their own evidence base, which has to be sound, of course, but also can be justified by local circumstances. She's commented this evidence base is likely to be more up to date than those included in the regional strategies, and that each case will then depend on the particular facts.
Well, I'm sorry that's all we've got time for today. I'd like to thank Nicola and Maggie and Sarah for telling us about these important and interesting law and policy changes, and we're looking forward to reporting again next month. In the meantime, if you've got any questions about any of the issues reported in the news this month, please do get in touch with NLP. You'll find all our contact details on the website. So thank you and
goodbye.